Really, there's no interaction between Saul and the Spirit. The Spirit comes up and begins to talk to him, and that's it. So let's go ahead and start here with verse number 14 of 1 Samuel 28. And we'll see how far we can get here in the next 20 minutes. Bible says, "And he said unto her, What form is he of? And she said, An old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And Samuel said to Saul, Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me, and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore have I called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do." Okay, verse 16, "Then said Samuel, Wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee, and is become thine enemy? And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand, and given it to thy neighbor, even to David. Because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek, therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. Then Saul fell straightway all along on the earth, and was sore afraid because of the words of Samuel, and there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no bread all the day nor all the night." And we're just going to go ahead and pause there, because we know we are not going to get done with the chapter with only 20 minutes or so to go. So, back here in verse number 14, let's go ahead back up to 13. "And the king said unto her, Be not afraid, what sawest thou?" Because, like was pointed out, she's freaked out. Wait a minute, this is legit that's going on here. She's not expecting Samuel to pop up, the Spirit to pop up, for it to happen as quickly as it did. Whatever the situation is here, she understands she is definitely out of bounds here. This is not something she was ready for. So the king says, "Hey, don't be afraid. I'm not going to punish you for anything, but I need to know what's going on, because you can see, I can't." And I think there's a lot of times in our lives where God's moving in something, and some people just can't see it. And other people, they see it clear as day. It's like, how do you not see what's going on? And they're like, I just can't. You know, maybe it's because of the position they're in spiritually. Maybe it's just simply a matter of it's not for them to see. In this particular case here, we certainly know that Saul is definitely in no spiritual condition to be trying to see anything spiritual. But he's getting this interaction here. So verse 14, "And he said unto her, What form is he of?" In other words, what has appeared? I can't see what has appeared. "And she said, An old man cometh up, and he is covered or veiled with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself." Now, Saul asked for the description because he can't see what it is that she saw. He needed to know if the right Samuel has been contacted, and he can only gauge that by what she had to say. I'm sure Samuel was a popular name. I mean, you think about it, someone becomes famous, what happens? The next generation starts naming their kids after that famous person there. You know, how many people suddenly started getting the name of Elvis after Elvis Presley got, you know, became a name? Marilyn after Marilyn Monroe and all this other stuff there. You know, how many preachers name their kids Billy after Billy Graham? You know, the fact of the matter is, there would be other Samuels. And quite likely some of these other Samuels would have also died. So he needs to be very specific, because he wasn't specific in saying, I need Samuel, the prophet who anointed me. He didn't go into that. He just says, I want you to bring up Samuel. she says, hey, there's this old man and he's freaking me out. And it's okay. It sounds like we've got the right one. There's no mention. Let's see. Yeah, there is no mention in any of this that Saul actually sees the spirit, only that they talked. But it's really just verse number 15 where the spirit wants to know, hey, what's going on? Why are you bothering me? And that's very reasonable. Number one, if it really is Samuel, he's down there in paradise. Now suddenly he's being brought back up to earth. It's like, what'd I do? What? Why are you bothering me? Do you not realize that I'm in paradise? I got no idea what's going on up here. And indeed, over there in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon writes that the memory of them is no more. Whatever's taking place here on the earth, they're either in paradise or they are burning in hell. They don't care one bit about what's taking place on planet Earth at the moment. So if it's Samuel, he needs a little bit of a quick update here on why this is taking place to him. If it is a spirit, well, the spirit needs to know which direction to steer the conversation. Because he could be coming looking for the best stock picks. He could be coming here, you know, wanting to know how he can do an in run around the Philistines, catch them by surprise and kill them. The spirit would need to know, what does Samuel want? So I think at this point we can eliminate this encounter as being purely a hoax, a ruse, her being a full-fledged charlatan. Yes, she might have normally been a charlatan. Having, like I said before, having someone stand in another room, you can't see them, but they're making muffled sounds where you can't hear, and they'll do some soft walking around just loud enough for you to hear that, you know, that sort of thing. But we know from verse number 12, she cried with a loud voice. This is 100% legit. So I think we can eliminate that option there, that this is all fake. Going up back to verse 14, she described an old man wearing the kind of outer coat a priest or a judge would have worn. Saul bowed to the spirit, which is interesting since he wouldn't bow the knee to God. Yet here he is, he's calling upon the one who's the voice of God at the time, well, was, I should say, and yet he's bowing the knee to him. You know, think about that one for one moment. That's... A, you're dealing with someone who was a human and you're giving them homage. And you're giving homage to someone who's supposed to be the duly appointed representative of God Almighty. You're going to bow the knee to them, but you won't bow to God. What's wrong with this picture here? But that's Saul. Now, by facing the ground, Saul was cutting out his sense of sight to a degree so that his sense of hearing could become more focused. Some of the commentators I read talked about how the spirit may have still been talking in a more muffled sound because obviously he doesn't have an actual body. So Saul may have realized, hey, you know, I need to be able to focus more, so let me just bow and close my eyes, and that way I can focus more on listening instead of me trying to see, especially since he couldn't see the spirit anyway. So the eyes have already been taken out of it. So go ahead and, you know, stop trying on that part and start focusing on others. And a lot more people need to start focusing more on what is being said versus what they're seeing, because your eyes do deceive you. And our hearts definitely do deceive us. So we need to be paying attention where we are listening for that still small voice. You think about Elijah there. They're on Horeb. There's the earthquake. There's the great wind. There's the fire. God wasn't in any of those things, yet he could see the fire. He could feel the earthquake. He could feel the wind howl and blow and move. But he had to listen for the still small voice. Let's see. He needed to hear what the Spirit had to say, since it was reported that Spirit spoke in low pitches and muttered. I've got Isaiah 8:19 wrote down here. Let me turn there, because I think I really did want to do that one real quick. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse number 19. And I think this actually backs up that part about the speaking in low pitches. Isaiah 8:19, "And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead?" Now, again, it says here, familiar spirits. And what is it that Saul wanted his men to go and to find him? He said in verse number 7 of 1 Samuel 28, "Seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit." Isaiah says, hey, these familiar spirits, these wizards that peep and mutter. So they're talking in these low-pitched tones there. So if Saul's believing, okay, we've got this woman dealing with a familiar spirit, he understands, I got to make sure I focus in more on listening. And if it is Samuel, okay, like we said, maybe he's talking a little lower because he ain't got a human body no more. While it is only conjecture, some possible proof that this spirit wasn't Samuel is that angels, which are spiritual beings, refuse to be worshipped. You go to Revelation 19:10 on that. Yet this spirit allows it. Samuel had mourned for Saul after God instructed him to tell Saul he would take the kingdom away. To allow Saul to give him this honor seems out of character for Samuel, that he was allowing Saul to add to his already long list of sins. So, verse 15. "And Samuel said to Saul, Why hast thou disquieted or troubled me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God is departed from me, and answereth me no more, neither by prophets, nor by dreams. Therefore have I called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do." The word disquieted means to enrage, disturb, move, shake, or trouble. The whole idea here is that Saul was in the wrong for this. He's in the wrong for wanting to call up Samuel. He's in the wrong if Samuel actually was called up. He's in the wrong if he's talking to a demon. He's just in the wrong period because he ain't going to God. He has refused to go to God. God didn't answer him immediately his way. So now all of a sudden he's doing this other thing. He is in sin 100%. The Spirit was selling itself as Samuel. While there are those in the Bible who have died and come back to life, that happened so that they could have more time here on earth. You think about... lost his name that quickly there. Lazarus, thank you. I don't know why I kept wanting to say it started with a T, but yeah, Lazarus. You think about the boy that Elijah brought back to life. The dead man who fell on Elisha's bones and came back to life. They were each given more time here. The widow of the city of Nain, Jesus brought her son back because he had compassion on her to give him a chance to have more life. You know, at least let him bury mama instead of her having to bury him. Where are we at here? I think I turned my page a little too soon because I don't know why I had that. While there are those in the Bible who have died and come back so they could have more time on earth, this was a quick answer, question and answer session with no new material actually being presented here by this spirit. Had this actually been Samuel, he would not have given any credit to Saul for his appearing, nor would he need to ask why he had been called upon God. God would have sent him with the message. There was no need to address the woman because she was at best only a medium. This business was between Saul and the Spirit, therefore she just takes a back seat. The Spirit asked the question to see what its answer should be, as we already said. Saul was indeed sore distressed because he was facing an impossible physical battle. He had no spiritual help coming from God, and his mental state was so low he yielded to temptation. He now found himself taking. Too often we have a far easier time being forthcoming to those around us than we are with God. And he already knows everything, and yet we still don't bring it to him anyways. There had been many battles between Saul and the Philistines during his 40-year reign, and many low points with those, but this time he knew he had zero backing from God. And that's a scary thing right there, when you know God ain't got your back. You know, if you think, okay, maybe, but when you just know, forget it. Saul was hoping that God would be motivated by Samuel's presence to give Saul an answer to his problem. God does not owe any man respect, nor does he have to do anything to honor a human. He chooses from time to time. Still, Samuel was dead and enjoying paradise, as we see in Luke 16, verse 22 to 26, and his knowledge of current events had already ended. So, in neither way could Saul legitimately hope to gain wisdom from Samuel. Verse 16, "Then said Samuel, wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee and is become thine enemy?" Now, real quickly, and if y'all ain't figured it out yet which direction I lean, we're really going to start getting down here with it. There is zero new information here in verse number 16. This is common knowledge. Anybody could repeat this. Josiah could repeat this if he felt like it. Okay? "Wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee?" Everybody knows this. "And has become thine enemy." If God's departed from you, good chance he's become your enemy. And you know all the forces of hell know when God has done something like that with someone. So, since God wasn't answering Saul already, what could he possibly expect to gain by asking the mouthpiece of God for help? You ain't going to get none, because he's your enemy now. If our enemy can't make us doubt, he will sow despair. If we already doubt, he will heap on the despair. It is one thing for us to say we have a particular problem. It is far worse to have another tell us to our face that we have that particular problem. In this case, Saul already knew he and God were at odds. The Spirit repeating Saul's own words was meant to drive him further down. So this is just pushing Saul further and further down. Because what's the best way to beat somebody? Bring them to depression. Bring them to a point of despair. Bring them to that point where they throw in the towel. I quit. You think about that in any situation you've ever been in where someone's already feeling down. And someone else just comes along and they start heaping it on. They're not turning happy all of a sudden. And if they do, run, because they just snapped. Okay? This is just... there ain't a single human being on this planet that Satan and his demons like. They tolerate. And if they can get us to end our lives any quicker than what they're going to be anyways... hey, praise Satan, that's what they want to see. Well, that's what's happening here. He's trying to break Saul as best he can. Again, this seems out of character for Samuel to tell Saul that God is now his enemy. Samuel begged and pleaded with God all night, mourning Saul, mourning the fact he just told Saul, God's taking the kingdom away from you. God finally comes to Saul and says, how long are you going to mourn from him? Get over it. I'll get your horn of oil. Go anoint David to be the next king. So this is really out of character that Samuel would talk such a way to Saul, if this is indeed Saul. Verse 17, "And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand and given it to thy neighbor, even to David." It's been 10 years that David's been on the run. however long it was. I'm wanting to say it was like 5 years from when David was anointed by Samuel till when he finally went on the run there. So we're dealing with at least 15 years here. It's common knowledge. Once again, David's going to be the next king. The forces of the Philistines are mounting up everything. They are getting ready. Saul's old at the same time. He's had a good long run. It's obvious from every point of view his time is up. And obviously God is taking away the kingdom away because he's already promised. That's what he's going to do. Now, let me reread that first part there. And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me. The word him here is referring to David. The previous verse ended in a question, allowing this verse to begin with a slightly different subject. Then there is the colon that appears, giving the reader a change in thought, but still on the same subject. In essence, God has done for David exactly as he had promised to do for him by the very mouth of Samuel. No new revelations are here again. This was all common knowledge, so even a demon could repeat what Saul had already been told. And since he's playing the part of Samuel, oh yeah, it's exactly as I done said. They're not worried about lying. They can say whatever they want. But one of the worst things that Satan does when he goes to tempt somebody is that he mixes in enough truth with the lie so that you believe the lie. He's telling him it's utterly hopeless. He's not giving Saul any idea that, you know what, maybe you might want to go and get right with God before tomorrow. That part is completely missing. Something like that would be in line with Samuel's character. Instead, all it is constantly pouring it on to poor old Saul. So, had Saul obeyed God, he wouldn't have lost the kingdom. We see in 1 Samuel 13, verses 8 to 14, again in 15, 28, and again in 16, 12, and 13. Like we said, no new information. Got a note here for verses 17 to 19. Again, this is all just summary, so most likely this was not Samuel, but the familiar spirit or demon that the witch often used. 1 Chronicles 10, 13, 14. Saul's death would come as a result of using this familiar spirit to inquire of it. Bible is very specific there in 1 Chronicles 10. Familiar spirit, not Samuel. God no longer spoke to Saul, so why would he allow Samuel to appear? Ecclesiastes 9:5, Luke 16, 27 to 31. You think about there, where the rich man in hell says, "Oh, send Lazarus back to warn my five brethren so they don't come here." And Abraham told him, says, "They which are here, not going back." But I do believe that Jesus honored that man's request at that point in time, because I truly believe, by naming Lazarus in the story, that maybe some of the people in the crowd were related to the rich man and some mercy was being given. Because God is not willing that any should perish, but it all should come to repentance. But in this case here, again, I do not see where this is actually Samuel. Verse 18, because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek, therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Again, that goes back to 1 Samuel 13, 13 and 14, and chapter 15, verses 1 to 9. Had this really been Samuel, one would expect him to call out Saul for his sin with the slaughter of the Lord's priest, or his constant hounding of David, and especially the sin of this act of necromancy. Instead, the only references used are the ones where Saul was told outright that his kingdom was forfeited because of those specific sins. So the very things that Samuel normally would have told to Saul, again, all that's missing. Verse 19, moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. So the Spirit made it perfectly clear it was God who was turning Saul and his army over to the enemy. It would not be a matter of dumb luck or that the odds were just too great to overcome. God didn't care if Saul had 10 million soldiers against a dozen Philistines. Tomorrow was his day to die, and that's all there was to it. He was going to lose. Now, one can die, but also still win. There are situations there where, you know, two people dueling, they're shooting at each other. The one person gets shot, but he still gets that shot off as he's dying. That bullet strikes the other person. Yeah, he died, but he got that guy too. He still kind of won. Israel is being completely turned over, their army, to the Philistines for them to rout. Had he not been wasting time hunting David, his army might have been better trained to fight the Philistines. The word tomorrow does not always mean the very next day. It can be used of the near future, though most likely, yeah, it is tomorrow, because the Philistines aren't going to sit there and wait for Saul to get his act together. The spirit without direct information from God. Let's see. The spirit... Yeah, that sentence doesn't make much sense. Who is not talking to Saul, so why would he give him... excuse me. So why... Okay, this spirit was talking, but without direct information, God. Because God was not talking to Saul, so why would he give him that much information? So he couldn't say for sure when. Again, this is common knowledge. Everyone eventually dies at a higher rate during battle, and battle's going to be held really soon. Saul's sins were about to have a terrible consequence on the nation as a whole. Not only was Saul going to die, but his sons and many of the soldiers they led into battle. Not all of Saul's sons would be killed, because Ishbosheth, more or less the designated survivor, he would go on to reign for a little while, as well as the two sons he'd had by Rizpah also managed to survive, because they weren't there at the time. Now, the Spirit did specifically tell Saul that his sons would also die. This does not prove that this really was Samuel. It only proves how well their loyalty and tenacity in battle was known, that they would fight to the death rather than run away. This is a spirit, so the statement of be with me does not necessarily mean in paradise, but rather that they will have shed in death their physical body and join the spirit realm. What part of Sheol they would find themselves in would depend upon their faith in God in this life. The word host here is in reference to their camp. The entire army was not going to be lost, but a great many would, and their encampment was going to be plundered by the enemy in 31 verse 8. Had it actually been Samuel, the spirit would have begged Saul to get right with God, but it wasn't, so he didn't. And at that point, we will go ahead and...